Amen. It's good to see everybody out to the home group meeting tonight. Amen. This is the home group meeting for February, and tonight is 2-2-2-2. They say it's a palindrome, and that's something that is set back, or something, a word you can spell backwards and forward, and you can even use numbers, but 2-2-2-2 is really 2-2-2022. So it is not a palindrome. But anyway, this is February 2022, our home group meeting, and I'm thankful very much that you are tuning in, and I hope the Lord just kind of ministers this word to your heart. And let's go ahead and get started, amen. Last week, as we always do, we kind of looked at what we talked about last week, and then we kind of dovetailed that into what the Lord would have for us today. And so that will be Biblical Elements for Daily Living. So this series is called Biblical Elements for Daily Living. These are biblical things in the Bible that we need to apply for our daily living in God. And so last week we looked at the Kingdom of God. And so there's a number of points we looked at last time. And so we're going to quickly select some of those points and work and go over that and point our spirit in the right direction. And then we will go from there. So the first point was the Kingdom of God is not the Kingdom of Heaven. Let me say that again. The Kingdom of God is not, I repeat, not the Kingdom of Heaven. Those are two separate entities. Those are two separate things in God. Now, everything in the spiritual and the natural realm is in the Kingdom of God. And if you were here in January, you saw that I had a whiteboard, and I had a kind of like a little diagram here, and I set that up, and I just showed you that everything in the spiritual realm and everything in the natural realm is in the Kingdom of God. The Kingdom of Heaven is in the Kingdom of God. The body of Christ, or the church, is all in the Kingdom of God. And the Kingdom of God, point number three, the Kingdom of God has to do with us coming under the rule or the authority of God. And unless we do, we will never go into the Kingdom of Heaven. So unless we come into the Kingdom of God, unless we'll come up under the rule and the reign of God and His Kingdom and His authority, then we will never ever be able to come into the Kingdom of Heaven. Point number four, many Christians want to go to the Kingdom of Heaven, but unless we enter the Kingdom of God, we will never make heaven our home. It will be impossible. Point number five, there is three kingdoms in the Bible, three different types of kingdoms. There is the Kingdom of God, there is the Kingdom of Heaven, and then there is the Kingdom. And the Kingdom all throughout the New Testament, especially in Revelations and stuff, talks about this Kingdom on earth, that Kingdom on earth. And it's these are discussed in the Bible. But the Kingdom is what Jesus came preaching. And if you look at Mark 1:15, it says Jesus came preaching, or the time is fulfilled, and the Kingdom the Kingdom is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Not repent and be baptized, which was something that you can see later on in the book of Acts. Amen? The Kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So that gives us a definition of what the Kingdom of God is. It is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And that's Romans 14:17. So in other words, unless we come into the righteousness, unless we come into peace, unless we come into joy in the Holy Spirit, then we will never ever go to the Kingdom of Heaven. Wow. Daily we must choose to enter the Kingdom of God. This is a choice that we must make every day of our life, that we must choose to come in through that righteousness and the joy and, you know, the peace and the Holy Spirit. Point number eight, the Kingdom of God is not of this world, but of the Spirit of God. Thus, if we dwell in the Kingdom of God, then our life is not of this world. Let me say that again. If we can come into the Kingdom of God, if we can come into that righteousness and joy and peace and the Holy Spirit, then we are not of this world. But if we can't come into the Kingdom of God, then we're going to be of the world. And I will tell you, if you are of the world, you will not be able to do the things that God wants you to do. Number 9, the kingdom of God is the victory of substance over style. It is essence over appearance. And it is the truth over something that is false. Wow. The kingdom of God is the victory of substance over style, essence over appearance, and the truth over something that is false. Point number 10. The most important characteristic of the kingdom of God is we must be birthed from above, or what some people call born again. You know, in John 3, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, in most translations, it says that you must be born again. But actually, in the Greek, it says you must be birthed from above. And that's what Jesus was telling Nicodemus. You must have this heavenly birth. You must be birthed from above. You must come into the kingdom of God. You must come into that righteousness and joy and peace and Holy Spirit. Because if you don't, as I said, you will never, ever make it to the kingdom of heaven. It must be birthed from above. Point number 11, and this would be John 3, 5 through 6, is born of the water. Now, a lot of people will take that birth and they will say, well, you must be water baptized to go to heaven. Well, that's not true. That's not what Jesus was telling there. Jesus was telling Nicodemus that you must be born of water, and that is the fluid from the uterus of a normal birth, not a water baptism. And we must be born of the water, and we must be born of the Spirit. Christ coming to dwell in us. Wow, you can just read Colossians and find all that. And the last point, if not born of the Spirit, now listen closely, if not born of the Spirit, then the only other birth that we can have is to be born of the flesh. And born of the flesh always leads to death. So if we're not born of the Spirit, then we can only be born of the flesh. John 3, 6 says, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, flesh, and that which is born of the flesh is flesh. So it's a spiritual principle. Spirit after spirit, flesh after flesh. Spirit begat spirit, and flesh can only begat flesh. Tremendous truth. Tremendous truth. Amen. So those were 12 points from January home group meeting on the kingdom of God. Now tonight what I like to talk about is a hearing ear. Amen. A hearing ear. Now we must have a hearing ear. If we're going to come into the kingdom of God, hopefully, and that will help enable us to go to the kingdom of heaven, then we must have that hearing ear. So biblical elements for day 11, number 13. Starting our text there, Acts 8 and 6, it says, all people with one accord gave heed unto them things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. You know, miracles, you know, a lot of believers and even many Christians believe that miracles kind of started in the Gospels when Jesus did all these miracles. Well, in the Gospels, I think there were 12 miracles that Jesus was documented and performed. But, you know, miracles started way before the Gospels. Matter of fact, miracles was a commonplace thing in the Old Testament. And you can just think about story after story where Moses opened the Red Sea and it was a miracle. You know, miracles are just a commonplace thing. And believe it or not, miracles in the future, if you read Daniel and Ezekiel and Revelation and so forth, you will see that miracles, indeed, in the future, will be a commonplace thing again. I don't know. Not so much today, but God is still on the throne, and he still is doing miracles. But miracles was very, very common, in the Bible. A hearing ear. Hearing from God is not dependent upon time and natural ability, but on God speaking to us, and us having an ear that is sharp and focused upon God's voice. Let me say that again. Well, this is critical. Hearing from God is not dependent on time and natural ability, but on God speaking to us and us having an ear that is sharp and focused upon God. Paul tells us in Romans 10:17 how we hear, and that's even how we get faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Very, very famous verse. I like the Greek text of that, and that is, and I think it's more accurate, and it just kind of flows a lot better. And then in the Greek, Romans 10:17 is faith cometh by hearing a word from God, not hearing the word from God. There's all kinds of people every Sunday. They go to church and they hear the word of God, and they have no faith. They have no hearing ear. But when you hear a word from God, when you hear God speak to you, wow, you have faith, you have all of the faith that you need, and you have, matter of fact, everything that you need from God, because in the hearing, when you hear God speak, is the receiving of everything that God has for you to do that which He wants you to do. So we must have a sharp, and we must have, you know, a sharp and focus upon God's voice. But this was the case with Simeon in Luke 2 and 35. So Luke 2:25-36. It says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him." Wow. Notice, the Holy Ghost was upon him. And that was before Acts 2, when a lot of people think, when the Holy Ghost came in Acts 2. No, the Holy Ghost was all throughout the Old Testament. That was a special thing that God did in Acts 2. But this man was full of the Holy Ghost. Wow. "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Jesus Christ." Wow. Walking in, you know, working in the church and praying day and night and reading your Bible and doing all of those things, you know, it will not help God to speak to you. Amen? Working in the church, praying night and day and reading your Bible and all the things we got to do, but it will not do it to hear God speak to us. Simeon received a word from God that he would see the Christ. He may have received this word years before. Nevertheless, Simeon was very still listened and was waiting. He was waiting to hear the manifestation of the word to come to pass. Mm-hmm. After we hear, we must have understanding. After we hear, we must have understanding. God speaks, but things happen sometimes at a later date. I remember in 1984, my mother spoke, actually she prophesied over Karen and I one night. And I wrote it down, I recorded it, and I wrote it down, and all the things that she said came true. This was in 1984. But the things that she said did not happen until in the future. All of these things were for the future, and I still have these. So just because God speaks does not mean we're going to happen right away. Most times when God speaks, it's His intention for us. Let me say that again. When God speaks, it's His intention for us. And most times those intentions take time for that to develop in the spiritual and for that to happen. Amen? But on a certain day, Simeon was moved by the Spirit and was in the temple where he worked when Joseph and Mary brought baby Jesus. Simeon recognized Jesus by revelation. Wow. Can you imagine all the babies that were brought in there? Because his job was to pray for all of the children and to bless all the children. But Jesus was recognized by him by revelation knowledge, and he spoke the word of the Lord over him. Simeon had an ear to hear revelation knowledge. So he had a hearing ear. When God moves, we will know by revelation knowledge. Let me say that again. When God moves, we will know by revelation knowledge, not by a natural understanding. So, you know, when God speaks to us, it is by revelation knowledge and not by our natural understanding. Now notice, you know, that that he was, you know, he came by the Spirit. He came by the Spirit. So, Luke 2:27-33, the story goes on, it says that he came by the Spirit into the temple. So the Spirit directed, you know, him into the temple. And when the parents brought in the Jesus Christ to do for him as the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen the salvation which thou prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles. This was heresy right here. He was speaking heresy. The Gentiles, no Jews like the Gentiles. No Jew ever wanted to be around a Gentile, but here he said, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people. Wow. Tremendous. In Ephesians, Paul says this, Ephesians 1:17-18, but that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Ephesians 1:17. This speaks of knowing that transcends human understanding, revelation knowledge, a hearing ear, having that hearing ear to be able to hear God speak. It transcends human effort and abilities, and which must be given from above. It must be given from above. Wow. When God speaks, and God is not a chatterbox, I will tell you, and we hear by way of the Spirit of wisdom and knowledge, those enlightens our understanding. And there's three things that is enlightened when God speaks to us. And this is what they are. You can write these down. What God speaks, what God is doing, and what God wants us to do. When God speaks, there's always those three elements in God speaking to us. It's what God spoke, what he spoke, and what God is doing in that speaking, and what God wants us to do. Now, that is critical. I remember in 2000, the Lord gave me a word. And you know what that word was, Yamar? Retire. That was it. I was in the Navy. I was a commander. I was a man of great power and great authority. I mean, when I spoke, people jumped. Simple as that. And God spoke to me, and he said, retire. He didn't tell me what to do afterwards. He didn't tell me what to do, you know, how to do it, you know, any of this stuff. He didn't tell me anything to do. He just said one word, and that was retire. And in that word, God spoke. And in that word was what God is doing, believe it or not, and what I was to do. And I knew that. I knew what I was supposed to do from that one word that God spoke. I knew I was supposed to stay in Germany. I knew I was supposed to keep the church that I was ministering. I knew I was starting to travel. But he didn't tell me, oh, David, I want you to travel, I want you to keep the church going, and here's a list of things I want you to know. He just gave me one word, and that revelation knowledge, it just everything just kind of unfolded out from that. Thus, an openness and sensitivity to the spiritual realm is essential. Let me say that again. An openness and a sensitivity to the spiritual realm is essential. Paul also encourages us in 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brother, I will not have you ignorant. 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now the word gift in the verse is in italics, since it is not in the original text, and it should be read without the word gift. So 1 Corinthians 12:1 should be, now concerning spiritual, brother, I will not have you be ignorant. Gifts was added to kind of make been there, but that changes the whole context in the thought that the Holy Spirit was trying to work it up. Amen?
Amen.
To have a hearing ear, we must have a relationship with the Lord and be sensitive to spiritual things more than earthly things. Let me say that again. To have a hearing ear, we must have a relationship with the Lord and be sensitive to the spiritual things more than the earthly things. If we are caught up in what is going on in the earth and who does this and who, you know, all that good thing, then we will not have the ability to hear from the Lord. This is the number one reason why Christians and believers do not hear from the Lord. This is why most Christians do not hear from the Lord. It's because they are caught up in what the world is doing, and they do not have a sensitive spirit to the things of God. They do not have a relationship with the Lord. You know, you have to have a relationship with the Lord first, and out of that, then you become sensitive to the spiritual things. And if you have no relationship and you're not sensitive to the spiritual things, then you'll never, ever be able to hear the Lord speak to you. Amen? In the book of Isaiah, and so we're going to be Isaiah 50, so if you have a Bible, you want to go there. In the book of Isaiah, we read, this is Isaiah 55:6, "But the Lord hath opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiter, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from the shame and the spitting." Wow. When was the last time you gave your back to the smiter? When was the last time you let someone kind of beat you up a little bit? Amen? Well, as when we started, I can tell you, because the last 2 days, we kind of let people beat us up a little bit, you know? But that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing when you can give your back to the smiter and let people kind of work you over, you know? After we have given our heart to the Lord, which is more than a salvation experience, amen? A lot of people say, well, I'm just going to get saved. No. When we give our heart to the Lord and we say that Jesus is King and Lord of our life, that is more than a salvation experience. And we receive the Holy Spirit, and that happens at the same time. There's not a second blessing. There's only that one blessing. When Christ comes to dwell within us, then His Spirit is in us, right? Then the Lord, He opens up our ears to be able to hear revelation and knowledge. So once we have that salvation experience, and we allow the Lord to come into our life, then we have the ability, that we will have that revelation knowledge from the Lord. The previous verse tells us how he does this. Isaiah 50:4. "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary." Wow. To speak a word in season to him that is weary. "He waketh morning by morning. He waketh my ear to hear as he learned." Wow. How powerful. "Our being wakened morning by morning, day by day, speaks of our spiritual ear being progressively open, that we might hear the word of the Lord. And one who hears the Lord seeks to apply what he hears." Amen? One who hears the Lord seeks to apply what he hears. There's a saying here, and it's, the more that we hear the Lord, the better and the more we will hear the Lord. Did you get that? The more that we hear the Lord speak, the better we will hear the Lord speak. It's like if you do something for the first time, and I'm not sure, but I do it for the first time, and after you do it for the first time, then you do it the second time, well, you're going to get a little better at it. And the third time, you get better and better. So it just gets better. Well, it's the same thing when the Lord speaks to you. When the Lord speaks to you and you recognize that voice and you recognize that's the Lord, wow, the more that you hear the Lord speak, the more, you're going to, get better at hearing the Lord speaks. But again, that is all a desire upon us. That all depends upon us. Do we want to hear the Lord speak, or do we want to be more concerned with what's going on with the world? John 2:15 says, "Love not this world, nor the things in it." Wow. If Christians could ever get their heart out of the world, and give it into Christ, wow, boy, it would just be a different world, that's for sure. Second is our response. I was not rebellious and nor did I turn away. The typo on my part there. These two things are essential to having a hearing ear. The Lord will open our spiritual ear, but we must listen and obey to what we hear. Let me say that again. Once the Lord opens up our ear, we must listen and obey what He wants us to do. This is where the understanding comes into play. Hearing is based upon what we do after we receive the word. Hearing, if we heard it or not, is based upon what we do after we receive the word. Jesus shares these thoughts from Matthew. And of course, this is the sower and the reaper that I'm going to be looking at, to go ahead and finish up. Here in Matthew 13 and 19, it says, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom," now Jesus is not talking about the kingdom of heaven, He's not talking about the kingdom of God here, He's talking about the kingdom, that third kingdom, that earthly kingdom that He will set up, and He will rule and reign during the millennial reign and then after the kingdom age. And this is, so that's what this is really about. "And understand it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was stolen in his heart. This is he which receives the seed by the wayside," Matthew 13 and 19. This happens when we do not understand what the word of the Lord is for us. And we move, and we get off track, which is our choice, over into redemption. The wicked one, Satan, then is able either to enter by God's permission or our disobedience to move us further and further away from the word of God for our life. Again, hearing is based on what we do after we hear from God. Hearing is what we do. Can we get it? Do we believe it? Are we going to take that into our heart? So with a hearing ear, hearing is based on what we do after we hear from God. Many hear from God, but choose not to do what He wants them to do. You might know people like that. Well, others hear from God and get it all wrong and get off track. And then there's the third party, the third group, that they hear from God and they get it and they move correctly in God. If you look at 100% of Christians that say they hear from God, I would say of that 100%, 90% probably don't hear from God. And I would say of that 100%, 90 don't hear, that leaves 10%. And of that 10% that truly hear from God, I would say that 6% hear from God but do not do what He wants them to do. 3%, they hear from God, but they get it all messed up. And that's not bad, because you can kind of get that okay. But if you hear from God and you don't want to do it, that's bad. But hearing from God and kind of getting it messed up is okay. But that just leaves 1%. So of that 1%, from that 10%, 1% of the Christians, I believe, in the world hear from God and do what God wants them to do. Wow. Man. verse 20 and 21 concerns those who hear the word and receive it with joy, but since they have no root, there is no outworking. Verses Matthew 13, 20 and 21. But he that receiveth the seed into a stony place, the same is he that heareth the word, and the word anon there, which means straightway, with joy and receive it. So he hears the word. Okay, I got it. Yeah, this is good. Yeah, I got it. Yeah. Because he has no root, or there's no foundation in himself, but during, it lasts for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, because of what God has spoken, because of what they have heard God speak, by and by he is offended. He is offended. Wow. The word offended in the Bible says that he is inconsistent. So the word offended in the Bible, it means inconsistent. Inconsistency keeps us from having a hearing ear. The process that God is looking for in our lives is learning and ever learning. Learning and ever learning. But we find someone that is inconsistent, it is learning. I got it, yeah. But you never learn it. Never learn it. We rejoice, we hear, we rejoice, but we make no lasting commitments. Wow. Does that sound familiar? We start off okay, but as we get disappointed, as we get disenchanted, or with whatever we hear, we fall away. Offense is the number two thing that causes us to not have a hearing ear and stumble and fall out of the way. So our love for the world is the number one thing that will prevent us from having a hearing ear. And the number two thing that will prevent us from having a hearing ear and stumble and fall out of the way is getting offended. Psalms 119, 165 says, "Perfect peace have they that keeps the law, and nothing shall offend thee." Wow. Perfect peace have they that keep the law. And that's the law of love, by the way. Perfect peace have they that keep the law, and nothing shall offend thee. In the Greek, that verse ends, "And nothing shall cause you to stumble and fall out of the way." Wow. But offense is the number two thing that will cause us not to have a hearing ear and cause us to stumble and fall out of the way. In verse 22, Jesus gives us number three. And gives us, number three. And this is Matthew 12, 22. "He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches, they choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." When we are deceived by worries or by riches, we are demonstrating a lack of faith and trust in what the Lord has said. We need to stand firm. We need to stand firm. Oh, oh gosh. Oh, how the world can hold us. Amen? "We are to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of those things that we want, all of those things that will prevent us from having a hearing ear, all of those things that we look for our creature comfort, and all of those things that we want to even satisfy our flesh will be added to us." Matthew 6:33. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." You just can't seek the kingdom of God. You must also seek his righteousness. And if you seek the kingdom of God, the joy, the peace, the righteousness, the joy, the peace, and the Holy Spirit, and his righteousness, then all these things will be added unto you. In verse 23, Jesus tells us that the seed sown on good ground, which is a heart that is prepared by God, represents the man who hears. He produces a crop yielding 160 and 30 times what was sown. Based not on the sowing, but based on the measuring of hearing. Wow. so that 160/30 fold was not based upon the sowing of the seed, but it was based on the measure of hearing. Wow. Matthew 13:23. And he that received the seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word and standeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. At the same measure one hears the word, they will be fruitful. Let me say that again. That's critical. At the same measure one hears the word of God, wow, they will be fruitful. So, it is impossible to hear God speak unless we all are in that relationship with Him. If not, you can go to church and do all of the church rituals and stuff like that, and you will be unfruitful. You will not be able to bear fruit because you will not be able to hear God speak. Some parting thoughts. A word from the Lord produces revelation knowledge. We hear and do, not draw back. As the Lord awakens our ear every morning by morning, we become doers of the word. Our lives are changed and His body is built. Wow, the body is built. Wow. James tells us in James 1:22, you know, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. So when we are more concerned about doing than hearing, then we are deceiving our own self. After we hear, we do what He asks us to do. Yes. May each one of us be spiritually awakened, morning by morning, that we might hear the word of God in a way that will change our lives, renew our minds, and give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so we might be better known and serve our Lord. But my friend, that is our choice, like all things in God. God's intention is to give us the kingdom. That's God's intention. God's intention is to give us everything that He owns, everything that is in Him. That's God's intention. But God's intention is to give it to us, but we must have a desire to receive that. God wishes none to be lost, no, not one. That's His intention. But sadly, the Bible says that hell expands its borders daily. People will be lost. Even though God's intention is for no one to be lost, people are still lost. And it's the same thing. God desires to give us everything that is within Him. Everything. Everything that is within Him. But do we have that desire to receive all of those things that God has for us? Amen? Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to You now, dear Lord, we thank You and we praise You for Your word, Father. Lord, I would ask that You give me more of a hearing ear, Father. More of a sensitivity to Your Spirit, Father, Lord God. Help me not to want to taste the things of the world, Father, Lord God. Help me, Father, Lord God, to be more spiritually minded, more spiritually sensitive and focused to Your voice, Father. And I thank You and I praise You, Father, Lord. Bless this word to the people that hear it, Father, Lord, and it goes out over the internet, Father, Lord, all the people that listen. And yes, I know there's hundreds and even thousands of people that will listen to this teaching tonight, Father, Lord. Lord, also give them that quickening ear, Father, Lord God, a hearing ear, Father, Lord, that they'll be able to do and hear the things that You want them to do. And Lord, we just thank You and we praise You, Father. Lord, we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Amen. Amen.